God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. This is Will Rice, and First Light is a brief Bible challenge encouraging you to read God's Word, to think about God's Word, and to live it in real life. I don't know if you watched the rocket launch and retrieval of the Musk rocket back in the fall of 2024, but it was an amazing thing to watch. Now, I know almost nothing about it. I saw clips of it. As I understand it, it was a rocket that went up into some kind of orbit and then returned to Earth, not crashing into the ocean as has often been the case, but instead of reversing course and basically just reducing jet power until it just comes down and rests in the cradle from which it was launched. It's an amazing thing. Now, there were opportunities for it to go left or right, to implode, to explode, but all that incredible power was harnessed, it was yoked, it was controlled, it was constrained to not just launch the rocket, but to land it again safely. Now, all of us live under constraints. We're all rockets, you might say. And if we're going to hit the right target, if we're going to land safely, might be a better way of saying it, we need to think about the constraints under which we live. All of us know the feeling of, you know, losing a pin between your car's bucket seat and the console. I mean, that is so frustrating. You try to get your big hand down and it just won't reach. And then finally you can get it down there, but you can't make a fist. And so you're trying to retrieve this pin between your index finger and your middle finger. You can't do it. It's frustrating to live under constraints, but all of us do. Mental constraints, physical constraints, financial constraints, constraints of location, all kinds of constraints. Now, that's hard to hear, that's hard to say, and of course, we're living in a country where we pride ourselves in throwing off all constraints. The idea is if you can believe it, then you can achieve it. Well, I'm thankful for a country where we can live up to our God-given potential, but if you mean that I can be whatever I want to be simply because I want to be that, that is a pipe dream. That is not honest, that is not clear, that is not true. If I think I believe I can fly, and then I jump off the ledge of a second-story building and flap my arms, what's going to happen to me? I can believe whatever I choose, but I'm going to drop to the ground like a brick because there's a constraint called gravity. So God talks about constraints in Jeremiah chapter 27. In verse 2, he says, "Thus saith the Lord to me, make thee bonds and yokes and put them upon thy neck." Now, we know what a bond is. It constrains you, shackles you. A yoke is the same thing for an ox or a yoke of oxen, where two animals are constrained to walk together. One may wish to go to the right, the other to the left. They may wish to stop, but they can't. They are yoked together. It is energy that is harnessed and directed. There is no direction in life if there is no constraint by God to constrain what is wrong and to guide in what is right. What you learn as you read Jeremiah chapter 27 is that freedom is accepting the constraints that God gives you. None of us naturally like constraints, but all of us need them. All of us benefit from the right ones, and all of us live under constraints. So freedom is simply accepting the constraints that God gives you. In the first place, everyone has them. I don't care who you are. You know, here's a child, and you put the child in a car seat. Does the child like that car seat? No. No one likes car seats. Now, I do after there's an accident, and a child has been protected. But just recently, my wife and I were watching my grandson. Can't believe I have a grandson. How could I be that old? But I am. And I did something I have not done for many years, and that is wrestled with a car seat in the back seat of my car. And I just had bad feelings about that car seat. It is a pain in the neck to try to secure it. My grandson does not like car seats necessarily. You know, kids want to be out. They want to be free. When that child grows older, he doesn't like the constraints of waiting in line at the DMV. When he gets a little older, he does not like the limits called speed limits constrained upon him by state law or national law. But everyone has constraints. Kings do. In verse 3 of chapter 27, the Bible says, "Jeremiah, send these bonds and yokes to the king of Edom and the king of Moab and to the king of Ammon and the king of Tyrus and the king of Zidon and to the king of Jerusalem, the king of Judah, and command them to say unto their masters, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus shall ye say to your masters." Quote, God says, "I have made the earth, the man and the beast that are upon the ground, by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given it unto whom it seemed meet unto me. I have done these things. And now have I given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant." Nebuchadnezzar was a pagan. He was a wicked man. He was a tyrant. He was God's servant. Doesn't mean he was a great man. It means that even this king was under the ultimate control of God Almighty. And the beasts of the field have I given him also to serve him. And all nations shall serve him. So even kings have constraints. This collection of kings was in Jerusalem, perhaps, to foment a coup against King Nebuchadnezzar. We know that a coup had been attempted generally in this time frame. Perhaps it emboldened them. In verse 11, God talks about the prophets and the dreamers and the enchanters who were prophesying lies and saying, hey, you'll all be fine. And he said, if you listen to them, you're going to have more constraints, not fewer. You're going to have more misery, not less misery. You're going to have more slavery, not less slavery. Every yes you enjoy in life is one at the expense of saying no. Every time I say yes to something, I'm automatically saying no to something else I could have been doing. You know, in this country, we have what is called decision fatigue, where we're worn out because we have no guidance, we have no direction, we have no focus of our energies because we have so many choices. You go to Walmart, you want to get some hairspray, there are 900 different varieties of hairspray. You know, one for this particular need and one for this particular price. And decision fatigue is a real thing. Everyone has constraints. And we may not always like them. They may not always be good, but whether they're good or bad, they do exist. Secondly, God gives some constraints. The constraints, which really were a form of judgment, were imposed by God on his own people and upon other people that were trying to conspire against Nebuchadnezzar and ultimately against Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire himself and itself. You know, we have constraints of nature. I can wish to be a runner all I want, but I'm putting my energies into a weakness and not a strength. My bone structure is not made to be a runner. My physique is not made to be a runner. Now, I have run at times. I've done different things. I'm not running now. It's been some time, actually. But I have constraints naturally. Sometimes we have constraints because God, as a loving Father, is chastening us. Sometimes there are seasons of constraint because of age or location or some other thing. And when a constraint is God ordained, I just need to know that God is good. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." Jesus, when he was in his earthly ministry, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." If your freedom is not giving you rest, it is not really freedom. It is the yoke of Jesus that gives that freedom. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So God sometimes gives constraints. You know, what matters is not how you feel. It matters what God has said. Sometimes people have this mistaken notion that, boy, if I want to do it, it must not be God's will. Other times people think, well, I want to do it, so I don't care what God's will is. That must be God's will because God wants me to be happy. Both are missing the point. Feelings are fickle. Truth is rock-ribbed. Despite what the world may be saying right now, in this fashion of thought, for the last 5 minutes, what matters is the truth, the reality. God was sending a prophet to give his own words, God's own words, to Nebuchadnezzar and all the kingdoms that he would conquer and then lose subsequently. So focused power comes from direction that God gives, and that direction sometimes comes from the constraints that he gives to channel our energies in the right way. You know, when Saul of Tarsus was confronted by the risen Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said to him, "Saul, it is hard for you to kick against the pricks. It is hard for you to kick against the ox goads." So in Bible times, some would be doing some farm work. He'd have a yoke, a wooden yoke that would tether together two oxen. And then he'd have a long pointed stick with which he would incentivize, you might say, those oxen to move ahead. And God was just saying, look, Paul, you are kicking against the pricks. It's going to be hard for you to kick against the constraints that I'm putting on you. And Paul was used greatly precisely because he did not accept constraints that were not real. And he did accept the constraints that God had given him. Look, I may be talking to someone today. You need to get going. You need to stop saying, I can't. You need to stop saying it's too hard. And you need to start saying, if this is what God wants, I'm going to obey. On the other hand, maybe today that you're discouraged because you can't do all that you want to do. Look, freedom is accepting the constraints that God gives you. And the way you know whether God gives it or not is you have to begin with what God has said, God's prophecy, God's word, and not your feelings. Finally, I would just say, wise people choose wisely under which constraint they will live. In Jeremiah chapter 27, verse 17, God says of false prophets that lie and give sweet nothings, "Hearken not unto them, serve the king of Babylon and live. Why should the city be wasted? Why will you die? Bring your necks under the yoke of the king of Babylon and serve him and his people and live, God says. So what are we saying? We're talking about living under the constraints that God gives. Sometimes we live under constraints that we should not, and sometimes we buck the yoke that God is placing on us for our own good. God says, look, if these really are prophets, then let them tell you the truth. If the word of the Lord be with them, let them now make intercession to the Lord of hosts, the mighty God of strength in battle, that the vessels which are left in the house of the Lord and in the house of the king of Judah and at Jerusalem go not to Babylon. So Babylon had already sacked Jerusalem once. They had taken some of the temple treasures back and offered them before their pagan gods. And yet Daniel chapter 1 verses 1 and 2 tell us that God gave them those treasures. Verse 22 of this chapter says, they shall be carried to Babylon, if you won't listen, until the day that I visit them. Then will I bring them, that is the temple treasures, and restore them to this place. Live under God's constraints and not your own. That is called providence. God's providing, not just now, but ahead of time for things you don't even realize will be needs. It may be that the constraint of today may provide the freedom that you will need tomorrow. God never tells people when commissioning them, look, here's what I want you to do, and you can do it. You're better than you think. You're stronger than you think. You're mightier than you think. God never says that. What he does say many times is, I am with you. I'm with you. So constraints, are they good or bad? Well, they're rarely enjoyable, but they're good if we live under the constraints that God has given us. They're bad if we impose constraints upon ourselves that do not need to be there. So freedom, what is it? It is accepting the constraints that God gives us and living a life of focused power because we do.